Amen. These songs as we sing them, man, first and foremost in my life, before anything else, who I am and my identity is that I'm a forgiven sinner. That is who I am. And I'm a forgiven sinner and I'm a child of God. Before being a son or a husband or a pastor or a father or an employee or a citizen or anything else, that is who I am. That's the essence of who I am, is a forgiven sinner, one who has received the grace of God, and I become a child of God because of that. And man, it's good to remember that.
Amen.
Right here tonight, forgiven sinners. Every one of us. You're either here as a forgiven sinner or an unforgiven sinner. That's the only difference. That's it. And we need to remember that. I think the church, that is something we can so easily forget. You come in a place like this, and I think there are godly men and women here, and I thank God for that, but it was not always that way.
Amen.
I guarantee you there's a time in your life when you are as lost as anybody. We're born that way. We come into this world lost. We need God. We need Jesus Christ. Because of humanity, because of the fall, because of Adam's sin, we are alienated and separated from God. We have to have the grace of God in order to be forgiven, to be brought into His family, to be brought into fellowship with God. And so, every person here, I pray that every person here tonight has experienced that. And if you have, you need to remember who you are. You need to remember where you came from and what God has done for you. And especially as we think about the issue we're going to talk about tonight, the title of the message tonight is Gay Marriage. And I want to talk some about everything that's been going on this week. And we've been still going through the book of Acts. We went through a study on the book of Acts the past several, weeks, months, and now years. We're coming very close to finishing that study. But I wanted to cover this tonight. I don't want to be neglectful of this because I think it's very important that we deal with this issue. And this is a very important issue for the church. And we're going to talk a lot about that tonight. And we're just going to be able to cover this briefly tonight because it's a pretty complicated issue. There's a lot of things to go into it. There's a lot more that I'd like to say on this tonight. But I just want to cover this briefly tonight to kind of get you in the right mind frame about how to approach this as a Christian. Okay? And I want to deal with it now. I could say, this is something we could deal with in a few weeks from now. We're going to deal with this more in the future. Matter of fact, I preached a message on this same topic, same title, about a year and probably 2 months ago. Because this is an issue. It's going to be an issue we're going to continue to talk about, okay? It's something we're going to be faced with. And so, as we talk about this tonight, I want to just briefly talk about the issue itself and what we're looking at right now in our society. I want to talk about the danger of what's going on today. And I want to talk about the opportunity of what's going on today that's presented to us as believers. And so, hopefully, like I said, we'll cover this pretty briefly tonight. And there's a lot more that can be said on this. But I just want to kind of cover this and kind of not to cover it exhaustively, but to cover this and kind of get us in the mindset of saying, how do we approach this issue? And how do we not approach this issue? Okay? I think that's very important. So if you will, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, let's read verses 2 through 9. And if you will, stand in honor of God's Word and we'll read this together. The title of the message is Gay Marriage. Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 9. Now this question that's brought up to Jesus in this particular setting is dealing with divorce. I want to emphasize that. This is not a passage about gay marriage, okay? That did not exist. Homosexuality certainly existed in Jesus' day, in the first century and way before the first century. But gay marriage was not something that existed in Jesus' day. This is something brand new for humanity. To recognize, as I've said before, homosexuality goes all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah. We see homosexuality, we see that in the land of Canaan as they're coming through and as they're conquering the land of Canaan. And so, this is not something new as far as homosexuality, but gay marriage is something that has never happened, as far as we know, in all of human history. Homosexuality has never been normalized or institutionally recognized by a civilization, okay? So, we're going to read this passage of Scripture. Like I said, this is dealing with divorce. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 2, it says, "And the Pharisees came to Him and asked Him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?' Tempting Him. And He answered and said unto them, 'What did Moses command you?' And they said, 'Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away.' And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'For the hardness of your heart He wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Let's go in prayer. Father, we pray Your blessing upon Your word as it's been read now. God, I pray, God, that You would give us wisdom, give us discernment. God, that Your Spirit would just speak to our hearts, and God would engage our hearts and our mind in a way that, God, we will be able to give an answer, Lord, for the hope that lies within us. As we are examined, as we are questioned, as we are challenged by this world, God, I pray that You would give every person within this church, every person that hears this message, whether it be on the internet or whether it be here tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that You would give them wisdom and how to conduct themselves in the times in which we live. God, we know, Lord, that these can be perilous times. That, God, it would be so easy today to make a very damaging and in many ways an irreparable mistake in how we conduct ourselves. God, give us wisdom and help us, God, to guard our testimonies as we deal with this world. And God, help us not to be tempted, just as we read here that Christ was tempted, that He was provoked by the Pharisees on this question of marriage and on divorcement. God, I pray, God, that we would give us wisdom, God, as we are tempted today to maybe lash out or say things that we should not say, that, God, You would give us wisdom in how to answer every man that asks of us for the hope that lies within us with meekness and with fear. As we have sanctified You in our heart, God, that is the most important thing, is to sanctify You, to set You apart in our heart that we might be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within us, God. Help us, God, give us the understanding that we need, and help us, God, that we would be a light to this world. Would You use these challenges that we face as an opportunity to be a brighter light to this world, to be a better witness and a better ambassador for You to this world. Thank You, God, for this night. Thank You for this time together. It's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Be seated. Now, as we look at this issue, like I said, this is the scripture on dealing with divorce, but it's dealing with marriage. Okay? And one thing I want to mention tonight, I want to address tonight, is understanding what is the issue with gay marriage. What is the issue with homosexuality within our society? And one thing I would mention right off the bat here that I think is so essential. This is why I'm covering it tonight. Not a week from now, 2 weeks from now. This is why I covered it a year ago. This is why I've covered it over the last several months and years here at this church. The reason why this has to be addressed, this has to be dealt with, is because we need to understand what the issue is, what the issue is not. One thing I would point out is this. This is not an issue that is dealing with something that we just see as being... Is everything okay over here? Janet, why don't you go sit over here on this side? I know, there's a lot of disruption over there, so why don't you guys split up and we'll have Janet come over and join you all. Now we're ready. Okay. A little interruption there, but we're ready to get back into it. Okay. One thing I want to emphasize, getting back to what we're talking about tonight, is that this is not something that you see as... The issue is not that this is gross or this is weird. And I want to emphasize this tonight. As I shared with our middle school class tonight, I had a great opportunity to talk with them some tonight about this issue and other things. But this issue gives no one the right to be disrespectful, to mistreat other people, to call people names. And it's a shame that I need to say that with an adult, with a predominantly adult congregation. But I need to say that. Man, it's so important that I say that. You have no right to call someone a name in a derogatory sense or to use some type of crass language towards somebody else. You have no right to do that. That is a sin. And God will deal with that in your life. Okay? I want to emphasize that because unfortunately, as I told our middle school class, I asked them, does this give you a right to use derogatory language towards other people? They said, absolutely not. I said, are there people that are my age and older that don't know that? They said, yes. I said, you're exactly right. Are there pastors who are my age or older who do not know that? That is correct. They don't know that. But they're going to find out. They will find out. Are there deacons who are my age and older who do not know? This does not give you a right to call people names in a derogatory manner. And that is what we have to realize and understand. And unfortunately, I have to state that tonight. Unfortunately, it's urgent that I state that. Be very careful what you post on the internet. It's your testimony. Amen. You can trash it in 30 seconds. Trash it. You have no testimony with anyone any longer. You need to covet your testimony and you need to protect it. And you need to use some wisdom, whether you reply electronically, verbally, in writing, however it is, you need to protect your testimony and the temptations that we have to lash out and to do something completely out of accordance with God's Word. Folks, we are to treat everyone with respect and with compassion, especially as Christians. That's what we're called to do.
Amen.
If you fail to do that, you will be as much in a ditch as our society is right now. And I'll tell you, my number one concern right now is how the church is going to respond to this, and I'm afraid it's going to be very poorly. I'm afraid it's going to be poorly. But here's what I'm responsible for. I have no bearing or impact upon how American Christians respond to this issue of gay marriage. But I do have control over how I respond to it.
Right.
And folks, I have an accountability also for how this church responds to it. And how individual members of this church respond to it. It's so important that you guard your mind, you guard your heart, you guard your tongue against saying something that you should not say as a Christian.
Amen.
Okay? I want to emphasize that right off the bat. I want to say that as we look at this issue, we need to deal with this in a thoughtful way. We need to deal with this with wisdom. We need to understand what the issue is. What is the problem with homosexuality? I want to say this. This issue goes way beyond human sexuality. This issue that we're talking about tonight with homosexuality and with gay marriage, it deals with the nature of humanity and the origin of humanity. This is a very foundational issue. Okay? This goes right to the heart of our existence as human beings. Okay? It's a very important issue. It's an important question. It raises questions and assumptions that we just operate within. Questions like, why are there men and women? Think about that. Why do we have two different genders? Why do we have men and women? Men and women are very different. We can all recognize that. Why is that? By our nature, we are very different. As we look here in verse 6 of this passage, it says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." He knew what He was doing.
Amen.
There's a purpose in that. Now I want to say this, especially because this Scripture here deals with the issue of divorce. Now I've had this objection brought up to me and say, well, Jordan, you know, how can the church be critical of gay marriage? Look at the divorce rate within the church. That's their argument. To say, you got a 50% divorce rate within the church, that's undermining marriage. That's undermining marriage as much as any ruling by the Supreme Court on gay marriage. That's undermining of marriage. And they're right, it is undermining of marriage. But here's the difference. And understand that the church, marriage has been under attack long before this issue of gay marriage. Marriage has been under attack for decades and for centuries and for millennia. Marriage has been under attack. Marriage was under attack with the first man and the first woman. You understand there was a divide and conquer that took place with Satan? The marriage and the relationship between a man or a husband and his wife was attacked from the very outset of humanity. Okay? That's not new. But the reason that there's a difference between divorce and what's going on today with the gay marriage agenda, the gay marriage movement, is this. How many people here tonight would stand up and say, I believe that divorce is every bit as good and as edifying and equal with two people staying together? Who would stand up for that cause? Would anyone stand up here tonight and say, it is just as good, if not better, for a husband and wife, a mom and dad, to split up? It's better for the kids for them to do that. Or at least it's equal to it. Who's saying that today? Nobody. Nobody is advocating for divorce. Yes, divorce is a... And understand, this is the issue. God has created us male and female. God's original plan was for a man and a woman to come together in union as a husband and a wife. Come together in a covenant between one another and God at the center. What He says there, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. This is God's plan. One man, one woman, monogamous. You read about plural marriages or polygamy in the Bible? God never condoned that, ever. God condemned that. Whether David did it, Abraham did it, doesn't matter. God condemned that, okay, as a sin. One man, one woman, one covenant, one commitment. For as long as they live, they make that covenant together. Let me tell you something. That's God's way. That's the best way.
Amen.
That is the best way. And I think there's people in this room right now tonight, people that have gone through divorce. My parents were divorced. I was the product of a second marriage. My mom and my dad were divorced, they got married, and that's where me and Justin come from, is from that, my mom and dad's marriage. I want you to understand something. Yes, there's divorce today, and it is not ideal. It's not as good as the way God set it up. And I hope that every person, the Bible says that God hates divorce. I hope everybody in here hates divorce. Even people who have been divorced, you recognize that isn't good. But let me tell you, you don't beat people over the head about it. I mean, it's a sin when someone gets divorced. And by the way, it takes two to get married. It takes one to get divorced. There's people who had every intention of staying married, of keeping that covenant, and one person broke it, and it ended the marriage. Okay? Divorce is a sensitive issue as well, and it's a complicated issue. And you can't just say, well, you're divorced, you must be a sinner. Baloney. That's not the case. You can't hold something together. If one person wants to walk away, they can do that. But God's plan, God's original idea, and divorce is an undermining and is a diverting from God's plan of how it was set up between that one man and one woman making that covenant for the rest of their life. Okay? Fornication is a deviation from that. Divorce is a deviation from that. Homosexuality is a deviation from that, from how God set things up. Okay? But the difference about gay marriage is people are advocating saying it's just as good. It's just as good. Let me tell you something. I'm not judging sin and say this is a big sin, this is a little sin. If somebody tells me, for instance, me and my boyfriend live together, it's just as good as marriage. You know what I'm going to say? No, it's not. It's not. Where's the commitment? Where's the covenant? Where is that security between a husband and wife that you have made that commitment together, in which a family can be raised with security to know mom and dad are going to come home? If they get in a fight, they're going to stay together. They're not going to go their separate ways. This isn't just some casual thing where they come together for a short period of time, but when trouble comes, they split. It's important that you have that security, you have that covenant between two people within the home. That is the best way for humanity to create a family and to propagate to populate the species. That is the best way, and it's God's way. Any deviation from that, folks, it's a sin.
Amen.
Okay? Right. Homosexuality just as much as anything else, but the agenda today is to say it's equal. It's just as good. It's not.
Amen.
It's not. So this goes right to the heart, right to the heart of humanity. It is a very fundamental issue. And it is how, as we look at this is how God has created man. In His wisdom and in His knowledge, this is the best way. God, can we say this tonight? God knows better than I know.
Amen.
We're going to come back to this. God's pretty smart. And He said, I want to create men and women. God could have created only men. He could have. He could have created only men with the ability to reproduce with one another. God could have done that. There's no fixed rule that God has to follow. God could have created only men. God could have created only women. But He chose not to do that. He chose not to do that. He consciously chose to make men and women different. He chose for humanity to be male and female. God chose that in His wisdom and in His knowledge, His infinite wisdom, His infinite knowledge. He chose to create men and women, male and female. So immediately we're faced with the question, who knows better, us or God? That's the question. And folks, I want to say this. That's just the issue with homosexuality. But with gay marriage, when it is recognized legally to be equal with marriage between a man and a woman, it is our highest court affirming the decision that we know better than God. They affirmed it. And 60% of Americans agree with the decision. It's just as good. We think in a very democratic way to say, well, the people have spoken. That is not the foundation for right and wrong.
Amen.
God is the foundation for right and wrong. What He says, it is the vote of one. Folks, when we don't understand it, I thank God for the way our society is set up the way that it is. I think that a democracy, a democratic republic like what we have, is the like what Winston Churchill said, it's the best possible government system. Or excuse me, let me rephrase that. A democratic republic like what we have in the United States is the worst possible government system, with the exception of all others. Does that make sense? There are no good governments. Because you know why? Because you got a bunch of sinners running the government.
Amen.
You're going to have people who are going to try to look out for number one. You have prideful people, envious people, dishonest people. It's people. As I said earlier, we're all sinners. And when you put sinners with power and money and control, guess what it brings? Corruption. Okay? But I thank God for how our governmental system is set up. But I want you to understand something. At the very heart of all reality, it is not a democracy. It's a monarchy.
Amen.
It is a monarchy. You know what I mean by that? There's a king. And what the king says goes. And that king is infinitely wise, infinitely good, infinitely loving, infinitely powerful. And he's right. When he says this is the way it should be, he's right. And if I have a view contrary to that, I'm wrong.
Amen.
His view is what decides it. And if 99.9%, if 100% of Americans say it's the same and God says it's not, it's not.
That's right.
So to think about this issue of gay marriage, I want to point this out, that gay marriage and homosexuality are theological issues. They are not just social issues. They are not just legal issues. They are theological issues that our country is facing. Because I say that, because all of this debate hinges on an assumption. And that assumption is this, that God did not create us.
Yeah.
That's the assumption.
That's right.
God did not create us. This hinges and this is grounded on a belief that you and I are nothing more than the products of biological evolution without a creator, without a God, and certainly without the God of the Bible. That's what this is hinging upon. This book is wrong. The God described in this book is wrong. He doesn't exist. And we cannot allow this book, written 2,000 years ago in the New Testament, and much further than that, 3,400 years ago when you look at the writings of Moses, we cannot allow this book, which is not true, to determine how we live our lives in 2015. That's the assumption. This Bible is not true. God does not exist. Therefore, I can do what I want regardless of what this old archaic book says. That's the assumption. That is the assumption about human nature. Do you understand the vast majority of people in America believe that you and I got here as the products of biological evolution, of random chance, and changes in our environment on living organisms where they became more and more advanced? They mutated into more and more advanced species, and that's how we got here tonight? Do you understand that's the way most people think about humanity? How they think that humanity got here and not within our country? Folks, it's atheism. It's atheism. Don't let all the rhetoric fool you. It's atheism. Plain and simple. That's the decision. And folks, it's very dangerous for this country. Why do I say that? Look at this next slide. This is an excerpt from the Declaration of Independence. This is what our country was founded on. This excerpt says this, and you can read the entire document. I'm not going to read it all here tonight, obviously, but go back and read it, and you'll see this language throughout this document. This is how we declared our independence as a country and as a nation. This is what it's based upon. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay. So why do I say that it's dangerous for us to go with this atheistic view of reality and of humanity? The Declaration of Independence is what our country was founded on. It mentions these things about unalienable rights, about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. It talks about equality of all men. These are all grounded in our creation. Every bit of that, everything I just mentioned, is grounded in our creation.
Amen.
That's why all men are created equal. Because we all share, everybody in this room, and everybody outside of this room, in humanity, we all bear the image of God equally.
Amen.
Black, white, rich, poor, we all bear the image of God equally. It is our equality is bound up in our creation and in our Creator. Does that make sense? That's why all men are created equal. Let me tell you where this gets very dangerous. When you deny the Creator and your creation, you deny the foundation for all these ideas.
Right.
You've undermined this whole document.
Right.
Every bit of it. Not pick and choose, not a piece here, a piece there. The whole document has been undermined. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When you take away the fact that we are created, When you deny that fact, that reality, that we are created by the Creator God, when you deny that, it undermines everything we're reading in this document. Biological evolution and atheism knows nothing of rights, of liberty, of happiness, or equality. Nothing. They do not exist. Zero foundation. These are just things people made up. You think about the teachings of biological evolution and atheism. What molecule are rights made of? What atom makes it up? Doesn't exist. There's no basis for rights. Liberty? Freedom? That's a joke. I'll tell you the real joke, though, is equality. Now, here we've got something, folks. I mentioned this 14 months ago. I'll continue to mention it. This is the heart of the issue. Equality. What is the symbol of the gay marriage activist movement? It's an equal sign. Now, that's interesting. All men are created equal. Let me assure you of something. First of all, I want to say this. If atheism is true, I have no issue with gay marriage. If you can prove to me that atheism is true, I have no problem with gay marriage. I have no problem with homosexuality. Matter of fact, I have no problem with anything.
Amen.
Other than the fact that there's a lot of people around me who are weaker than me, who have a lot of possessions that I don't have.
Amen.
And I'm going to do something about it.
Yep.
If I'm consistent. Mm-hmm. Folks, you don't understand what we're wading down into here. Let me assure you of something. All men do not evolve equally. They do not evolve equally. That's the entire premise of Nazi Germany. And our country is falling right into the same trap that Nazi Germany fell into. The black man is inferior to the white man in an evolutionary sense. I want you to think about that. Do you understand? People say, well, what's the big danger of two men marrying one another? You're about to find out.
Amen. Right.
You're about to find out. When you deny the Creator, when you deny your creation, when you say, I got here through blind biological processes, folks, everything's permissible. The Jew was inferior to the German in an evolutionary sense.
Yep.
I want you to understand something about this ideology. It was not a hatred for the Jew. It was a biological decision.
Right.
It was called social Darwinism. Look it up if you don't believe me.
Right.
These were the ideas of Adolf Hitler. He said the Jew is inferior genetically. We can't let Jews be mixing in the gene pool. How shall we have a superior race with Jews mixing into our gene pool? We have to remove them genetically.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you would if you have... If you're breeding animals, by the way, what does evolution say that we are? Animals. It's just human husbandry. You don't take the small and the weak one and allow it to reproduce. That one has to go out, doesn't it? For the stock to get stronger and stronger and stronger, the small and the weak must be removed. It's a very logical process. If atheism is true. You only allow the strong to reproduce. And so guess what it began with in Nazi Germany? It began with forced sterilization. They cannot reproduce. If you have mental issues, you cannot reproduce. If you're a Jew, you cannot reproduce. If you are a prisoner, you cannot reproduce. We have to sterilize them to make sure that those genetics never work their way out into our society if we're going to have a superior society of men. Okay? But forced sterilization, after you do that, a little bit of time passes, you say, wait a minute. I hate to be rude here, but we're paying to keep these people alive. These biological machines that are inferior. It's costing a lot of money to run this mental hospital. It's costing a lot of money to run these prisons. It's costing too much money. We're going to need to make an economic decision based upon our worldview. Based on our worldview, I'm not paying to keep someone alive who is inferior genetically. We're going to put them down. And that's exactly what they did. That's very dangerous ideas. That's very dangerous ideology. Do you see where this leads? Hey, you want to be atheist? Let's be atheist. Let me tell you something about worldviews. You can't mix them.
Amen.
You cannot mix them. We talk about worldviews all the time in this church. I really hope you're listening. Because if you're not, you're going to be as lost as everybody else. I guarantee you the vast majority of people in America, I could convince them of eugenics. I could convince them of genetic purging of the human race. I could convince them in a 30-minute conversation. That's scary territory. I don't agree with it, but I could convince them of it. Practically speaking, based upon what they already believe, based upon the assumptions they carry around with them and have carried around with them for decades of their life, what they've been taught and what they believe, I could convince them that we need to purge our society genetically, just like the Nazis. We're on dangerous territory. We're on dangerous ground today. Beliefs have consequences. And you can't take worldviews and mix them up. Right now, America has a mixed up worldview. We want to take our equality from the Christian worldview. But we want to take our liberty and our ability to do whatever we want to do from the atheistic worldview. And we'll mix them together. It won't hold together.
Amen.
We're going to have to keep making a decision. Christianity has been so repressive. We got some stuff we like in there. There's a lot of stuff we don't like. So we're starting to get rid of the stuff we don't like and moving over this way. And we're mixing in some atheism that we do like. So we're just going to sit here in the middle. No, you're not. It's inconsistent. Let me tell you something. People have a right to be happy, right? People have a right to act upon their feelings, their desires. I've already seen it. I've already seen it. People will deny this and say, oh, no. It's totally different. It's not different. I've already seen it. Pedophilia is coming next. They're going to say it is a sexual orientation. It's already being said.
Amen. That's right.
It's already being said. Let me tell you something. We lost our argument against it on Wednesday or Thursday. We lost our argument against it on Thursday. Legally, I have no. You know what pedophilia is? It's child molestation.
That's right.
It's sexual child abuse. I have legally in this country. I have no argument against it any longer. As of Thursday, it's a sexual orientation. Just as much as people genetically or they experience same-sex attraction, if we tell them that is not to be repressed as wrong, then the next step is to say, well, I have desires too, but it's for children. Why do I have to repress mine if they don't have to repress theirs? It goes even further. There are people who have violent tendencies. There are people who are predisposed to violence. There are people who are predisposed to addiction. You know what they're saying right now? It's my desire. Why do I have to repress mine? They don't have to repress theirs. And away we go. It's fully expected by my wife that I repress my desire sexually, that I will be monogamous in my relationship. Yeah, there's desires that I have and there's temptations that I have. I have to war against those temptations because they are not good. Adultery is a sin. God's way is the best way. It's best for me to be faithful to my wife. And I'm called of God to repress those desires. We're calling other people to do the same thing. It's not inequality. It's equality. We're all created in the image of God. Do you understand the issue? Man. Folks, I can talk all night about this. The hardest part about preparing this message is, what do you not say? Because there's many other avenues we could go down to say, and here's another huge issue that we're going to have a hard time dealing with in the future. But we come on down. And folks, the position that we're at right now, this idea of rights and liberty and happiness and equality, they do not exist. These ideas are not binding upon anybody. There's one law. If we choose to go the atheistic route, which we've chose to do, there's one law, survival of the fittest. It's the will of the strong. That's it. That's a scary position to be in. That is dangerous ground. The foundation for all laws and rights have been undermined. Let me tell you, you know the irony of this? Including the laws and the rights that protect gay marriage advocates. The law that protects them and says you cannot harm them because they have a different view than you, that law has been undermined. Says who? Well, the courts say it. Courts. This is the jungle. There's no courts in the jungle. You don't tell me what to do. Who gives you the authority? Are those people sitting on the Supreme Court stronger than me? Unless they are. Maybe they are for right now, but we can fix that, can't we? We've got 300 million Americans. The majority can really rule, say, we'll do what we want. What about the minority? They better either get out of the way or they will be crushed.
Right.
There are 400,000 gay couples in America. That is a tiny minority. There are 1 million people in this country. Out of 300 million, 1 million identify themselves as being homosexual. They don't understand what they're playing with. Now we're going to throw up, hey, you can't have your repressive laws upon us. They don't know that there's a caged animal over here that says, I can't stand gay people, and I'm going to kill them when I get my hands on them. It's the same laws that protect them from that animal over here who wants to attack them and harm them. It's the same laws that are being undermined, and they don't even realize it. You know what we're doing ultimately? We're sitting on a branch and we're sawing at it.
That's right.
That's what we're doing. Saying, we want this over here, but we don't want this section over here, so we're going to saw that part out. Wait till we get all the way through the branch and see what happens. Mm-hmm. We lose the basis for all of our society. All humanity is lost. When we decide to go the atheistic route, folks, it is, the gates are wide open. All things are permissible when you begin to go with atheism. When I tell you that the only law is the law of survival of the fittest and the will of the strong, I'm serious in that. And folks, it almost happened about almost 100 years ago. Not quite 100 years ago. It almost happened in Nazi Germany. It almost happened for this entire world. And it was prevented. Men stood up and said, this is wrong. Our laws say otherwise. We don't care what your laws say. It's wrong. There's a higher law. That's what they did at Nuremberg when they tried the Nazis. They said the law of our land said it was okay for us to exterminate Jewish people. The laws of our land say it's okay to exterminate these inferior Jews, and we said there is a higher law. We undermine that law on Thursday. As a society, that law to which we appealed coming out of World War II, we undermined and said, there is no higher law. The court rules. The court decides the nature of humanity. Folks, that's good right now. Wait till that court changes. And they have the power to say, yes, this is humanity. This is the way human nature is, or this is the way that it's not. We have made a very scary transaction. But folks, there's another danger that exists for Christians. That's the danger for our society, but there's a danger for Christians. I want you to understand this. All eyes are on the church and the Christian community right now. Every eye is watching Christians right now. Not Muslims. Do you know what the Muslim view of homosexuality is? Hey, try to be a homosexual. Try to demand your rights in Saudi Arabia. You'll be executed. In a second, you'll be executed. But you notice we have many Muslim Americans, many Americans who agree with gay marriage, but these don't get interviewed, do they? Has anyone here seen a Muslim interviewed on their belief about gay marriage? That's peculiar. No, it's not. It's not peculiar. It's predictable. Everybody's looking at you. And everybody's looking at me. But there's a danger here for Christians. I think, do you understand that I'm against gay marriage? I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a bad decision by our country. But folks, I'd have to exercise wisdom. You have to exercise wisdom. We must respond in a Christ-like way. This is a danger for the church because I already know there's going to be many people, I've already seen it, who are not going to respond in a Christ-like way. And it's going to be a disaster. The church is in jeopardy right now of losing its witness in our society based upon how we respond. Let me assure you of something else. Just as much as the Muslim Americans are silent and aren't being asked anything about gay marriage, you wait for the first lunatic who shoots up a gay marriage, guess what? The cameras will be rolling. And if he stands there with a Christian t-shirt on, they will zoom in and say, this is what Christians say. You and I must tell the truth. We must say there's a different view than that. We have to. We are called upon as Christians to use wisdom, to exercise wisdom that God has given us in this situation. This presents a danger to the church, but it also presents a tremendous opportunity to the church. Look at Colossians chapter 4. This is Paul's request to the church at Colossae. Listen to what he says. Colossians chapter 4. I'll give you a chance to turn over there. This is our response as Christians. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verses 2 through 6. It says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." Listen to verse 5. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Folks, that should be our prayer today. This issue, and I want to tell you how I view this thing, okay? This issue of gay marriage is opening to us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ. This is an opportunity. I really do see this as an opportunity. I wasn't wringing my hands on Thursday. I think I said maybe a week or two ago, I said, I fully expect the Supreme Court to come back with a ruling to say it is unconstitutional to deny gay marriage. It's going to become a national law. Okay? That you have to recognize homosexual marriage. I fully expected this to happen. I wasn't wringing my hands on Thursday. But I see this as an opportunity of opening a door of utterance to us as Christians to speak the mysteries of Christ. People all over our country are talking about an issue that deals with the fundamental nature of humanity. Are you kidding me? We're talking about an issue that deals with the very fundamental nature of who you are and who I am. Folks, this is a golden opportunity.
Amen.
I've been waiting my whole life for an opportunity like this. For people to come to me and say, "What do you think about gay marriage?" I'm so glad that they asked me that. Because I get to explain what is humanity? Why are there men and women? Everything I'm talking about tonight, I get to explain to them. Only, and probably in more detail than this, and answering questions. Folks, this is a tremendous opportunity. It's important that we as a church, that Marble Hill Baptist Church, I want you to understand that many people are going to blow this opportunity.
Amen.
We cannot be among them. We have to seize this opportunity and use this opportunity to share with others as a door of utterance, to share with them the mysteries of Christ, to share with them the Word of God and the fact, and why, not just what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. And encourage those that we talk with to do the same, even if they're of an opposing view, especially if they're of an opposing view. We must be thoughtful. We must use the mind that God has given us, that He's given us to glorify Him. We must use that mind. We must engage people. We must ask questions and pray for opportunities. Folks, you've got to be thoughtful about this. You've got to put your thinking cap on when you talk to somebody. Don't just assume you know what they believe or they don't believe. Ask them questions. Somebody says, "Well, I'm for gay marriage." Ask them why. And folks, fully expect for you, when you say, "Well, I'm against gay marriage," expect them to ask you why and be ready to give that answer in a reasonable way, in a biblical way. Say, "This is why I think that way. This is the nature of humanity. This is how I view humanity in light of God's revelation." We're to engage people. I want to say this, and we're going to close with this. I'll ask our singers to come. Folks, this world is lost today. It's lost. When I say it's lost, I don't just mean that it's lost its way or something like that. I mean it's lost. I mean it doesn't know God. This world does not know the God who created it. That's why I love that video we watched called "That's My King." The scripture that comes to my mind is in John chapter 1 when it says that He was in the world. Talking about Jesus Christ. He was in this world. And the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That's an amazing verse. That verse perfectly describes what we saw. Because He said He was here. God was here. God was in this world. This world today, and this world in Jesus' day, and this world ever since the fall, is lost. When I say it's lost, I mean it is separated from God. It does not know God. Our world does not know God. Our country is lost. Our country does not know God. There's a big misconception that we're a Christian nation. Folks, there's very few Christians in America. I'm convinced of that. Thursday's a good reminder. There's very few Christians in America. Our country is lost. Folks, that's nothing new. It is just what we are seeing manifested in our society is this. It is lost people living as if there is no God. And that is not a surprise. I'm not surprised one bit that people who do not know God live as if He's not there. Does that make sense? It doesn't surprise me. But let me tell you what's changed and what's new for us right now as believers. Right now, our lost world, our lost country, our lost community, they are wanting to test and examine and challenge the nature of humanity. And folks, I'm up for the test. How about you? I'm dying for the test. I know what we are in our heart and in our nature based upon the Word of God. I can't wait to share that with somebody else. Do you have any idea how I've seen faces light up in places like a jail ministry? Faces light up when I share with them, you're creating the image of God. You have worth and you have value. There is value and worth to this couple from Knoxville that was part of that Supreme Court case. There is value and worth to both those ladies. There's value and worth. They're creating the image of God. I love those ladies. Wouldn't it be tremendous if they became Christians? If they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? But the biggest danger I see with homosexuality is this. It's going to cause a lot of people to close their ears and close their eyes. Cover their ears and close their eyes to the gospel. Because they're going to say the gospel means I can no longer live the lifestyle that I've chosen. And folks are going to say, I don't want it. That's the biggest danger of homosexuality. It's going to keep people away from the gospel, away from the Bible, away from Jesus Christ. That's the biggest danger. Folks, that's my concern. People are lost. They need to know Christ. That loss, that separation from God may manifest itself in a number of different ways. But folks, that's the main issue. They don't know Christ. They're separated from God. We have an opportunity. We're going to be put to the test to say, what do you believe about humanity? What do you believe about sexuality? What do you believe about the nature of men and women? Folks, we need to have an answer. We have an answer. Will we use it? And will we use it wisely? That's the question. That's the only question. As we stand tonight, as we sing, folks, these are very important issues. Tremendous issues. I do not want to miss or blow this opportunity. And it is an opportunity. Folks, I'm not discouraged tonight. Are you discouraged? Folks, I'm excited about being a Christian right now. This is such a tremendous time to be a Christian. People are asking me the questions I usually am asking them. I thank God for that. This is a tremendous opportunity. And I hope that we're going to take this opportunity. We're going to be put to the test. Can we stand the test? Are we ready for that challenge? I hope you are. I hope that I am. Folks, if you've never studied before, read up on the issue. I'm begging you, when you open your mouth to share with somebody else, know what you're talking about. Research it. Everybody in here, hey, most people in here, you've got a phone, you can look things up on, you've got commentaries, you've got all these resources at your fingertips, you better use them because you're going to be put to the test. Folks, how are you going to represent God to this world? They're lost. They don't know Him. They're going to begin to ask us questions, engaging us. Are we ready to tell them about God, about Jesus Christ, about forgiveness, about hope, about sin, but about forgiveness? Are we ready to do that? I hope that we are. As we sing, what page do you have?
Page 282 in the Bible.
Page 282 in the Baptist hymnal.